Welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, bringing the tales and stories of the ancient Celts to your fireside. Episode 21, Fostered by Milk Pails.
Hello, welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show. I'm Ruth.
And I'm Gary. You can email us by sending an email to Gary at CelticMythPodShow.com. Or Ruth at CelticMythPodShow.com. If you fancy sending us some voice feedback to play on the show, plug a microphone into your computer, come along to our website, scroll down and click on the red record button, and we'll get your feedback.
We'd also like to apologise to you all for the lateness of this episode, and thank you for the many get well messages we received.
They've been amazing, haven't they?
They have, yeah.
Yeah. So many good wishes. We were blown away. Thank you very much, all of you. Let's have some news and views.
With Yule and Christmas on the doorstep, we thought it was time to remind you that there'll be a change in the podcast between Yule and Imolc. That's December the 21st to February the 2nd.
After the Yule holiday special, we'll be taking our annual holiday. But rather than leave you without any shows at all from us, we're going to produce some music shows.
Over the last year, we've come across and been sent some super music from all over the world, so we decided this would be a good opportunity to share some of it with you.
We'll have a music special for you to download in the new year, and another two over the following weeks. After the Imolc holiday special, we'll continue with our stories.
In other news, over 650 people have voted on the next set of myths that we'll bring to you. So thank you for those votes. There are only another 8 stories to go, so we should be starting the next series by springtime.
And that'll be the Irish mythological cycle done.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So where do you want us to go next? That's what we want to find out. And so far, it's still a toss-up between the Welsh myths and the Cuchulainn tales.
So if you haven't voted yet, pop along to the website, come and vote on the poll.
Absolutely.
Today's tale is the second part of the tale of Fosterage of the Milk Pails. This tale comes from the Book of Fomoy, which is dated at 1373. So Gary, remind us of the story so far.
Okie doke. Enya, the ward of Angus Og, is insulted by Finbar, Angus's brother, and she refuses to eat. The only sustenance she can take is the milk of the rare dun cow of Engus. She is sent to Manannan Mac Lir in the Land of Promise for his diagnosis, and he discovers that her heart belongs to the new god. Many times the great life-giving fire of the sun had turned about the silent mountains of Erin, since the Tuatha De Danann retreated into the hollow hills. Many, many more times the inspiring silver light of the moon had shone upon darkened woodlands and the silver-grey fields where the sons of Meal slept in peace. A great change was coming upon the sons of Meal as the Toilgan, Pádraig the saint, came into Erin and sent the druids and spirits away. He came with the new god, and whole communities submitted to religion and piety. It was at a time after Enya had visited the great sea god, Manannan Mac Lir, that she was with Curcog and her ladies on the lawn of Brúna Boyne, in the warmth of summer weather. Heat and sultriness overcame the ladies, and they went to swim in the Boyne. When the maidens had had enough of swimming and diving, each one of them went for her garments. Enya did not notice the maidens' departure, and as the ladies of the Tuatha De Danann departed, the magic of the fair Fiar left the fair maiden. It was only then that Enya could be seen by the eyes of men. Neither could Enya see the ladies, so she came ashore and put on her clothes and began to search for them on the banks of the Boyne. But she couldn't find them. Before long, she saw a branchy, blue-boughed garden and the bare wall of a cemetery built around it. And the maiden went towards that cemetery and saw a grey-haired, joyous cleric in the door of the church and a testament, and he was earnestly praising his creator. The maiden at once saluted the cleric, and he answered, "What brings ye here alone, O maiden?" She told him what had occurred to her as she swam in the Boyne, and then asked him,
"Who are you, cleric, and from what household do you come?"
"I am at the household of God, and Podrick, son of Calpurnius, is my lord and viceroy. Who are your people, O maiden?"
"I am of the Tuatha De Danann till now, and my people and yours are the same."
"Your coming to us is welcome, even though you are not of my faith."
"Yet I am told that I am one of God's faithful people, but I do not know what your faith entails."
"Praising the Lord, and reading aloud from this book." "And if you are of God's faithful people, strange you did not know it."
"Teach me to know it, for I never saw its like. Moreover, I would like you to teach me henceforward and give me a lesson on every poem."
She lifted her voice in the following lay.
"Give me its own prophet, O warrior, to whom I vow my service. It's like for sweetness I heard not in the land of promise."
And the cleric raised his own voice. "If sweet to thee to hear it, O fair yellow-haired maiden, you will listen indeed this time to what is in this book. Take the little psalter steadfastly."
"O wise cleric of the Torgin, put in my memory all of the learning that is in it. Give it to me."
After these lays, Enya bent her head over the book and read it without delay, as if she had learnt it from the night she was born. The cleric was amazed at the maiden's recitation and how she read the book, for if she'd had all the books Pádraig brought to Erin, she would have read them without delay, and the cleric loved and respected her the more. They were still reading at the time of the cleric's dinner hour. He then rose and took his fishing rod and went to the river. And Enya had not long to wait till he came back to the house with a beautiful salmon.
"What have you got there?"
"My share of provisions from the Lord, and I have more need of it tonight than I have ever had before."
"What are you eating?"
"I am pledged to an individual in order of appetite. I am very hungry indeed."
"If I knew how you did it, noble sir, I would not take from your share, but take your rod and seek my share from the Lord as you have done yourself."
"I will go myself, O maiden." The cleric went to the river and let down the rod, and he had not long to wait till he caught a most splendid salmon. Its like was never seen, and he took it to the maiden. Oh, it was an exploit to carry it from the river to the church. He laid the salmon down and did reverence to the maiden after that, saying,
You must indeed be one of God's people, O maiden. And may my soul be under your soul's protection."
So the cleric sat down and began to pound the fish till it was ready. And they ate the roe of it, that is half and half. And every morsel of it tasted like honey. Then he made a bed for the maiden and another bed for himself. After this, they shared everything fairly, with harmony and unanimity for a long time. But as to the company of ladies, they had left Enya and could not find her, and they approached Engus sadly and told him timidly of the loss of the maiden. Engus at once transformed Kurukog, and his steed was brought him, and Kurukog went with him on the search. Engus went forward to Rosti Air, and he searched every fort in Erin for the maiden, and he found her not. and he came then back to the banks of the Boyne and continued to search for her. While they were there, they saw the oratory and the dwelling and came just opposite on the far side of the river. Enya looked forth on the riders and recognised Engus and Kurkog and their companions. The cleric brought her food, also for himself, on the side near the maiden's fishing weir, and though he looked, he didn't see them because the fair fiara was over them. The cleric asked the maiden, "What are you looking at, fair maiden?"
"I can see Engus, my guardian, searching for me, and my comrade, Kurkog, and the household of the brew and her ladies. It will be a vain search for them."
"Indeed it will, if that be the will of God." And Enya watched them carefully, a tear welling in the corner of her eye. And she gently made this lament.
"Dear to me is yon host of riders, whom I see along the blue-banked Boyne. A royal, haughty company. There was no strife or calamity, the joy of the company. Engus Og, son of the Dagda, is a horseman, is a sailor. The pleasant household of the fair brew are warlike, wound-dealing, valiant. The sad and sorrowful lad shall be Engus's name tonight. The women of the fair shielded brew find no rest from searching, and my comrade Kurkog ceases not from lamenting me. It was the duty of all to guard her. From the day I was taunted by Finbar, by my guardian's brother, I will not wait for Manannan, for noble Ilbrek or Sigmor. I bless that Finbar, through whom came my love of God, the speech of the long-haired one which put me to shame that day. I will not wait for Avatar, who withstood Bov of armaments. His religion is a shield which shall be praised. The escort on this journey is for none of the Tuatha De Danann. My body to Jesus and my soul. Welcome is the arrival of the Torgen, who came to Erin of the Yew-wood. Without the suffering, death with him would yet be sweet."
After that poem, the cleric prayed to the Lord for Pádraig to come to comfort and aid him, for fear the maiden should be taken from them against her will. The Lord granted to the cleric to get his righteous prayer, so that at that same moment, Pádraig came with his clerics to the door of the oratory, and Engus to the other side of the river. And then Pádraig asked the cleric for the maiden's story, and an argument began between him and Engus concerning her, so that Engus asked,
"Will you let my ward come to me, cleric?"
"The maid is not your ward, but the ward of the god of creation, though she was lent by her father to you."
"Let the maiden decide if she thinks it is to her advantage to come to me, and I lack the power of your god."
"I fear that will not happen, even if you took my advice, Engus. I do not fear your interference in any righteous affair."
"What is this advice of yours?"
"Worship the true almighty God, and shun vain gods, and arise in the name of the Trinity, and change thy name, and depart from torments."
"That is not the course of which we came from our home."
Engus could see that he had lost Enya, and he spurred his horse from the river and retired sadly and sorrowfully. And his ward perceived his reluctance. He recited the poem,
"Let us return in sorrow, O Enya of the bright shapely head, the fair, white, ungrateful swan whom I shall cherish no more. Since they took away her comrade, it is useless guarding Kurkog. The wounds of the treachery since parting, I will put away most of them. There is an edge of three loud cries, lamenting as a wounded man, the departure from the mansion on the right of the brown riverside pasture. Enya is no more, my child, from this moment. O host of the land of promise, that thou grievest for us, let us do it. The coming of the Torgum to this land is my misfortune. I do not conceal it. Departing from her I leave. But though hard and harsh, let us do it."
After that, Angus and his household uttered a terrible wailing cry, lamenting Enya. When Enya heard Angus's people weeping, her heart leapt in her bosom. And from that start came grief from one breast into the other. She asked Pordric for baptism and remission of sins, and received it from him, and was named by him. For a whole fortnight the maiden grew steadily worse, and was praying to God and to Pordrig, who with his clerics was much grieved. When Enya felt her death was near, she commended her soul to God and to Pordrig, and recited the poem.
Call me, ye people of heaven. Call my soul by your prayers. I will not forsake God's heaven for the mansion of my guardian Angus. Pleasant is the house where are the people of the Holy Lord. His grace shall be sung and his changeless felicity. Though the women of the brood weep and wail greatly, I prefer the cry of clerics at my head defending my soul from hell. I thank Christ of the children for my parting from the Tuatha De Danann. Though I am of their race, I am not one of them. I believe in Jesus, the great King. The story of the fosterage of the House of Two Goblets is not an unknown story. All the nobles of Grassy Folla will ask for it. O Pordrick, son of noble Calpurnius, defend my soul from anguish. Absolve me of my sins and faults if you hear my appeal.
After that poem, Pordrig took the maiden's head on his breast and sent her spirit to heaven, and they gave her honourable burial. After that, the church was called Cor Enya, that is Enya's church, at Brú of the Boyne after her. The name of the cleric to whom the maiden came was Cazorn, a Scots prince and chaplain to Pordrig. He could not bear to live in the hermitage because Enya had died there and left it and went to Fi Gaeble and there led a holy life, so that the church named after him is there. Cluain Cazain at Ros Mictreoin in Fi Gaeble. It was a pleasant camp of the Fianna before that. That is the fosterage of the House of Two Goblets so far. And Pordrig commanded that no one should sleep or talk during the telling of this story, and that it should not be told save at the prayer of good people who were worthiest to hear it. And he ordained many other distinctions concerning it, as is told in this elegy.
Dig ye the grave of generous Enya in the church above the dewy green Boyne. A fair scion of bright knowledge. The host of Angus were distressed. I and Angus, expert in arms, a pair whose hidden mystery had not its like. There was never in the wide world one we loved like Enya. I will attach these blessings to the story of Enya of Fi Moy, the best of children. The best of companions shall you see when sleeping with fair women. If you repeat the nourishing, going on a ship or vessel, you will go safe and sound, wave or billow. If you repeat the nourishing when taking a stately wife, good is the step you take. You will have the heat of wives and children. Repeat the story of noble Enya when going into a new alehouse. There will be no squabbling or foolishness, no drawing of curved, valiant weapons. Repeat to a wealthy king the story of Enya during destruction. He will not lose his throne if he listens in silence. If you repeat this wondrous story to the prisoners of Erin, they will be freed of their fetters and prisons. Blessed be the soul that was in Enya's fair body. Whoever knows this elegy shall carry off the victory. Beloved was the smooth golden hair and the fair rosy countenance. The fair foam-like body and the sweet-spoken mouth. Beloved was the noble attractive body and the fair face, the lovely modest mouth and white thighs. Let her festival be written in our songs and seen and ordered in our world. Let her body be buried in this church.
And Pordrick turned his back from the church and walked off into the new lands of Erin. The memory of the sweet smile of Enya playing on his mind. Her piety and purity refreshing his soul, and the pain of her loss deep in his breast. As for the men of the Tuatha De, they had long known that after their time men would listen to the words of the new god, and they were content to wait for the scales of balance to level once more. But their grief was strong for the loss of the heart of one so treasured, so beautiful, so skilled, all for the careless words of a thoughtless man. She would always be one of their own, but her heart would wander alone, kinless, in new worlds, taking a part of each of their hearts with her. In our next story episode, we hear of the quest of Lain the Eagle.
Let's have some listener feedback.
Before we read you some emails, we'd just like to send a quick shout out to Daniel and the Soupy Gato Show for the comments on Podcast Alley. Thanks for your votes, guys. It's much appreciated. We also received a message from Sarah on Facebook, and she says,
"Only this past month did I discover the pod show, and I'm so happy that I stumbled upon it."
Thank you, Sarah.
"I was looking up podcasts for classical mythology to listen to while I made my hour-long rides to college every day. I thought I would give the Celtic myths a go, as I've always been interested to know more of Celtic myth, but never anything more than a passing interest."
Oh, I'm glad you did. I also hope you're discovering that there is just as much beauty, tragedy, and heroism in the Celtic myths as there are in any classical myth.
"I have to say that listening to your pod show has been a very enjoyable experience for me. I love taking the time to listen to you and Ruth. You're very charming people.
Oh.
Thanks for helping me further develop my love of mythology and making the Celtic stories so accessible for everyone around the world."
Well, thank you very much for that, Sarah.
Yes, Sarah, thank you. That's really sweet.
It is. Mythology is such a rewarding study, and we're really glad that our show has enriched your studies. It's our dearest hope that we're helping in some small way to make the stories of our ancestors more accessible across the world.
And now we'd like to bring you a couple of promos. The first is for storyteller Dale Jarvis, based in Newfoundland, Canada, whose podcast gives you a selection of ghost stories, traditional tales and stories of the fairies. You'll find several Irish and Celtic stories in his collection, as well as stories from Scandinavia, Canada and from the Brothers Grimm.
This man is a professional storyteller. He's a joy to listen to. I think my favourite story is the story of Paddy Mahoney's Gold, which is a typical tale of fae trickery. It's good stuff. Let's listen to his promo.
"I'm storyteller and folklorist Dale Jarvis. Join me as I podcast from the foggy shores of the island of Newfoundland with stories of fairies, phantoms, and folklore from Newfoundland, Labrador, Ireland, the British Isles, and beyond. Visit me at dalejarvis.blogspot.com or follow the podcast link at hauntedhike.com. And why listen to stories? Well, in the words of novelist G.K. Chesterton, fairy tales are more than true, not because they tell us that dragons exist, but because they tell us that dragons can be beaten."
now we'd like to bring you a promo for a show that we listen to all the time. It's called Druidcast, and it's hosted by our friend Dave the Bard. The show is a masterful mix of great music, stimulating interviews, and warm commentary by the host. Definitely worth a listen. See what you think.
Hello, my name is Dave the Bard, and I'm the host of Druidcast, the podcast of the Order of Bards, Ovates and Druids. Each month we present a wonderful selection of music, poetry and story, plus an interview or presentation by one of the leading teachers within the Western mystery traditions. So if you're a modern druid, Wiccan, witch, Celtic, Christian, pagan, or just interested in nature spiritualities, tune in to Druidcast each month. You can find us on iTunes or on our website at www.druidry.org.
Dave has made a slightly longer promo for Druidcast that tells you much more about the show. We'll play that one for you in a later show. But before we go, we'd like to say a big thank you to Bernard and to Diamond for their contributions, which you'll be seeing on the website in the near future.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, the great stuff.
We've got a great show coming up for you at Yule with a story from Druid author Ellen Evett Hopman. So with something to look forward to, we'd like to wish you
Slongerboil.
You've been listening to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, available from CelticMythPodShow.com. We hope you've enjoyed the show and will stay tuned for the next episode. You can send us a quick email or voice feedback by emailing either Gary, that's G-A-R-Y, or Ruth, R-U-T-H, at CelticMythPodShow.com. Chat to us in the forums on our website. The show notes for this episode can also be found on the website. We'd like to say a special thank you to Coulan's Hounds, who provided us with the theme music for our show. You heard Haghole at the beginning and are listening to The Skylark now. You can find out more about this foot-stomping band at www.sfhounds.com. And thanks again to Diane Arkinstone and Kim Robertson, whose music has been used for some of the incidental music in this podcast. You'll find links to their websites in our show notes.